Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206, or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I'm one of the diners tonight, and I'd like to welcome everybody. Also want to remind you again that if we want to go into your email, you can go to show@transformationcafe.com, and that will automatically put you into our email. We could be having a live chat going on. Again, remind again that show@transformationcafe.com, and we've got a few more callers on the line. Hey, Mr. Jamie, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a Robbins from high school, and I am a tattoo artist by trade. I own a shop in Seattle called Chromo. We've been up here about 14 years, and I get to draw on people for a living.
Hey, that sounds like a lot of fun. Okay.
Permanent.
Okay, Miss Gloria, please introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Gloria, and I am a misplaced Midwesterner living on the West Coast.
Oh, wow, okay. And we're glad that she's here, let me tell you, I'm glad that we're here. Miss Marvine, will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Marvine Lindberg, and I'm here in Redlands, California, and I'm a personal growth consultant.
Yes, she is. She's a very personal growth consultant, and I love and adore all these wonderful people. Hopefully you will, too, as we start noshing on a lot of wonderful different topics. I'm thinking we're going to go to the California Pizza Kitchen, which is wonderful, of course, in California, but I know they have other menus on that. So you guys want to get some bruschetta, or what do you guys think? Maybe some mozzarella sticks? What sounds good for an appetizer?
Fried.
Jamie?
I'll say some fried mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fried mushrooms. You kind of faded out there for a second. It could have been the fried anything. Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of like going to the fair when they do the deep fried, what is it, Snickers? There you go. We'll get after
somebody.
Maybe we'll have that for dessert. Yeah, the Twinkies. Maybe we can have that for
dessert. You know, I even heard of a deep fried stick of butter.
What?
A deep fried, does it even stay butter?
Well,
look at ice cream. They deep fry ice cream, and it stays ice cream.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about that. What does that sound like? I know Marvine loves butter. What do you think, Marvine? Would you want deep fried butter?
I don't think so. I think I'd pass on that. Hey, butter's a little treat, so I enjoy it.
I don't know. I would still think it'd get liquefied. Okay, what about you, Miss Gloria? Anything that you'd like to have on the table for our appetizers?
No, I'm easy tonight.
She's easy tonight. Well, okay. Well, I mean, okay. What are we talking about? Okay. Anyway, okay. Moving on. So, Mr. Jamie, I want to just give a shout out to Jamie. Jamie sometimes feels that he's the bearer of bad news because of all the different things we have happening on the planet sometimes with these oil spills and earthquakes and all this other stuff. But I just want to totally thank him for his up-to-the-date what's going on the planet. And so what's in the news, Mr. Jamie? And we're not going to hold you responsible. We're just going to thank you for the info. How about that?
Okay. Don't shoot the messenger.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm, let me see. The Gulf oil spill is still currently, what are we at? Day 84. And I believe they put a new containment cap on the well. But they have to test for pressure and see seeing if they contain it. Well, it's a big step, let's say.
Okay.
Lessening everything. And they're also drilling those relief wells. So I think their best bet is to try to, well, they're still testing this new containment, and it's actually, I guess it's a success as far as the placement, and they have to test, though, for the pressure. And then...
So is oil still coming out?
Oil still is coming out, but
okay.
They're going to be able to maybe lessen it or cut it off completely. That doesn't mean that that's still kind of, mind you, everything that they're doing is experimental at this stage because nothing's been done this deep. They also are drilling the two relief wells on the side. So I'll say one is within a week or so, and the next one will probably be in August. And that's the one where they actually go underneath and try to stuff up the well mud and sludge and cement eventually. So that is
cool.
I haven't heard anything else about that other than that they had successfully put a containment on top of the well, and they're going to put some other things that what was basically the apparatus they had on there that failed, that's what they're trying to recreate. So that's good.
Cool. Yeah, hopefully that's really good news. I also had been talking to Kathy. Kathy's actually been with job commitments. She hasn't been able to be on the show, but we actually visited this weekend, and she was sharing with she had a friend that had gone to Florida for vacation. It's probably a really cheap place to go to vacation right now. And because like nobody else is going, so they really want to take care of the people who do decide to go down there. Which, but I've heard that it's just like a lot of other places. There is tar and things like that on a lot of other coastlines, just naturally. But I mean, we know this is extreme because of what's happening with everything. But it's she was saying that they had tried to go and take some kind of a tour on an area that had that wasn't really being affected with the oil, considering the direction it was going, and all the ships weren't available because basically PB has hired all of them to go and help with assisting with being able to clean up the oil. So all these guys basically have been given new jobs. So that's kind of nice. That was exciting to hear that, you know, it's at least one part of the impact on that these people are still being able to have some kind of a job and being able to make an income. So that I thought that was a positive thing.
It is a that is positive, and anything good is good for this type of although the problem still exists and they still need to clean up. And I haven't really read anything, or maybe I haven't been looking that hard, but that was the last, and that was today, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But okay, that's good news. I hadn't even heard that either, so thank you for that.
If they can contain it totally or cap it off, and maybe within the next few days we'll hear. Of course, we're only hearing
what they want you to hear. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
And let me see. On the other front, I haven't heard anything about our old Eyjafjallajökull Icelandic volcano. Not at all. Nothing. Zero.
Okay.
Of course, I haven't looked up anything.
I actually looked right before we went online, and there wasn't anything out there about any current activity.
Right. So I imagine it's probably not as critical as far as eruptions, and the only thing you would hear would be if there were, the flight schedules and stuff like that, if they were canceled or to that effect, with the dirt in the air and planes couldn't fly. So. But I haven't heard anything about that, so I guess it's still there, but it's not as active.
Okay, that's all good. Okay. Marvin or Gloria, have you guys heard anything that we haven't already talked about in for kind of updates on stuff? So just checking with everybody.
Not really.
No,
okay. I really haven't been on the Internet.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Jamie. That's, you know what?
Well,
it was good news. So there you go. Good news. On these good things. So good job on the good news.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, one little sideline on the golf bill. They had an article the other day on the animals again. And anytime we see these animals and how they're being affected by the oil, it just breaks your heart to see them just having to deal with our, you know, our circumstances and choices, that's for sure. And they were addressing all the babies of all these baby birds, be it a pelican or the seagulls and things like that. And actually, PB has hired a company called Tri-State Bird Rescue, and they're actually assisting in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. That's pretty much their range of being able to help with these birds. And they've got quite a few different shelters where they're doing cleanups and things like that. One of the largest ones is in Fort Jackson. And they were actually had a little bit of an article talking about some of the seagulls and how they were being cleaned up and giving them a place to hang out until they know it's going to be safe for them to be able to go back. So that probably will be for quite a while. But good to know that PB is really kind of putting their gestures out there on whatever level they can to show that they are trying to be responsible for, you know, on one level with helping people to get jobs and switching for their duties, and people can hire for helping with that and also helping with the wildlife. So those are both good things that, you know, wanted to kind of put out there for stuff. So good, good, good. So was everybody involved with watching the soccer for the World Cup, or did, was just like, it just seemed like it went on forever? Is that just me, or it just seemed like it went on for a long time?
I didn't watch any of it.
Okay. How about you, Gloria?
I saw a headline and was excited that two different countries that had never won were in competition for it.
Yeah. And how about you, Jamie?
Go ahead.
As far as it going on forever, it never seems to end, regardless of when it does.
No, it didn't. It just seemed like what's been going on for a month, I think?
There is like, I don't know how many weeks of play, and then it's actually, I think, like 60-something games.
Yeah, that's
all
not
together.
Long.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
No, a month isn't long at all.
No,
I
not
think
really.
The,
I
think one of the major things was people talking about those horns. I forget
yes,
what
the
they call them. The bulbovos or something.
All,
and
you all
how,
know about Paul the Octopus, right?
Right.
Oh, that was
Paul
funny.
The Octopus?
Yeah.
Do you guys know about, Gloria, do you know about Paul the Octopus?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, to me, there's a psychic octopus. Of course, we have to talk about that because, you know, we're a transformation cafe and we really want to just be on the cutting edge of any kind of, you know, life that's evolving. So we have Paul. Yeah. And Paul
predicted the last 8 games correctly and even the winner of the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. He was 8 out of 8. And what they would do is they have these two clear box containers. They put his food in each one. Gave him something to eat. They put the flag of whatever the competition was going to be for that match. And Paul would go over and open the right box and go and get his treat. And he was just their same treat was in each box, so he basically got to choose because of the flags. And he always, eight out of eight, he picked the right one every time.
I think they said he's going to stop predicting things and he's just going to go back to being an octopus.
Oh, he's going to retire?
Well, he's going to retire from predicting.
We're
going to
retire Paul?
Yeah, they're going to.
They're
not going to.
They could be utilizing that on some level.
I think one of the teams that lost, the coach wanted to make some scampi or he wanted to have some octopus.
Oh, no.
Calamari,
maybe?
Calamari, right.
Paul and Megan calamari. That's just wrong. I mean, you know, if he were bad,
with a little
I could see that.
Probably.
But not when he's been right online, man. Come on now. We've got to utilize his, the octopus wisdom. Here we go. Octopus wisdom. We want to be utilizing that, man. We could be talking about all kinds of stuff and let Paul kind of show us the way.
Well, octopuses are quite smart, too. They're one of the smarter creatures down there.
Yeah, I wonder who, like, figured out that would be a fun thing to do to see if he could figure out which player was, you know, which team was going to be winning each match. I wonder who thought that up. But anyway,
somebody with a lot of time, probably.
Drunk scientists.
It was a scientist? Yeah, I don't think it was
drunk
a
scientist.
A drunk scientist. Well, yeah, there probably was alcohol involved, I'm sure, you know, on some level.
Or maybe they got the octopus drunk.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know. It's interesting to find out, too. But they were saying if you had put $10 on each of them and it had exponentially went out because of the odds, you'd have won about $1,600.
Wow.
I know.
So, you know, let's not make little of Paul here. You know, he could be worth some big bucks here. So there you go.
I will say
Yeah, but I've heard he's been running
soccer.
Out to Las Vegas now.
They're going to run Oz in Las Vegas? Yeah, why not? Now they're going to, you know, it's just like anything else. It's a simple, wonderful gift that somebody has. And, you know, the corporate America or corporate whatever finds out about it, and they just exploit it to death. So there's going to be the octopus shows in Las Vegas now with Paul. There you go.
It's just a variation on the cheese, the grilled cheese sandwich that's got Jesus on it.
Yeah, or Mary. I mean, Mary shows up a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mary shows up a lot with when it comes to melted cheese. So, we're, you know, I can understand that.
Oh, dear.
I'm a fan of grilled cheese sandwiches. Because that was cheesy.
They do have a novelty little plastic impression that you can press into the bread, and then you toast it,
yeah.
And that's when Jesus' face comes up too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those are pretty fun, pretty darn special. So there you go. You can
I wonder if you put it.
I do remember the sister. Go ahead.
I said, I wonder if you put an ice cube underneath it and then fried the bread, if you'd get a better impression.
Oh, I don't know. Because, like, they, you know what? This goes really, well, it doesn't really go totally off subject, but I was watching now how they were having experts looking at the Shroud of Turin, and they were looking
right.
at the way the shroud had been created and the way that, because of the angle, they were saying that it had to have something between it for the way the angle looked on it. Because it was, mm-hmm. you know, instead of having it be two-dimensional with the level of being three-dimensional. So there you go. You know, I don't think it wasn't a bread mold, but you know, just kind of
what is that the Mother Teresa cinnamon bun.
The second, what did you say, Marvin? Somebody's doing a talk?
No, somebody sent me a copy of the Shroud of Turin this week from one of the
Oh really?
Yeah. I'll send it over in the morning.
Online maybe?
Yeah, they emailed it to me. It's a friend of mine from San Diego.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And there's a lot of speculation about the shroud, which is kind of interesting, too, because
yeah.
you've got, you know, both factions, one I'm saying yes, that there's some real authenticity to it, and you've got the other faction saying, well, no, it was manufactured, and so that's another interesting topic.
Yes, it is. Maybe we can talk about that next week and do a little research on it. So I think it's the History Channel that I was watching that has this whole I think it was a two-hour special that they were showing of just different ways that they were, because part of the challenge with that is looking at the technology of that time that they can carbon date it of when it was being created. So they have to look at what was available to someone to be able to create it just in an art form or whatever. And then you've got the Templars and all that other stuff that was involved with it too. So whether they were trying to determine what area of the world it was being created, because they can look into the cloth and see from the fibers if there was any kind of, pollen or anything like that there, that they could determine where it was coming from. So it's, you know, that's real scientific. You know, we're going even down to the pollen levels for stuff of what was being available in a certain part of the world at a certain time period. That's pretty, you know, it's amazing what we can do with science nowadays. It really is.
Science.
Robin, I'm sending you a copy of that thing on the Shroud of Turin that I got this week.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I emailed it.
Okay, and I had a friend of mine send me this thing about a neat trick that you can do with a AA battery. And what it is that Marvin goes off. Okay, while he was it's actually a little video that I got. So we'll have that. If people are interested in that, go ahead and let us know. And we can go ahead and post that on transformation-cafe.com. It's an extension of the show, so we can be posting things and getting your comments and things like that. So if you guys want to go to that, too, we encourage you to any kind of messages or responses or any kind of questions you have, we'll do our best to forward any information on for that. But the video was showing a 6V battery, and they said if you take it and you take the lid off of it, there's 32 AA batteries inside the container. So you've got 32... generic AA batteries. Yeah, you've got 32 generic AA batteries. So if you added that up, that saves you about $30 in AA batteries. If you bought just this one 6V battery, and they usually run about $4 to $5.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah, so it's pretty,
yeah,
pretty
but what
neat trick.
Would you do? Take it apart to use the individual batteries?
Right, and you can because they're just generic. They're just it would just be like a generic AA battery that
See,
way.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, yeah. So it saves you tons of money because, I mean, for people who have to use that. And on some levels, you know, if you think about that on just a green level, utilizing that in a different way. Marvin and I went shopping together today, and they actually had a we had gone to the L.A. Gift show, and we were looking at some of the things that they're going to be making available to consumers in the next 6 months to a year. And one of them was really cool. It was actually like a backpack, and it had a solar panel on the whole back side of it that you would actually have to the back of you. And it basically was a solar panel so you could charge all your different kinds of stuff, whether it was a laptop or an iPod. Yeah, anything like that, you basically could plug it in and you could be charging it while you're wearing it on your back. Is that cool or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was totally cool. And, you know, hopefully that's just the direction we're going with everything. Whether
we need
have,
to go back
like,
and look at those, too.
Yeah, but any kind of thing that we could, I'm thinking you could create something like that and put it on the dash of your car or like the back dash of your car and have it where you could just plug stuff in and be charging things while you've got your car out there. Because, I mean, think of the amount of intensity of sun energy that everybody generates through their cars. That would be awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I think
you
it would have been Toyota.
I think there's an experimental out there, and I'm not sure who's doing it, but I do know I've seen articles on it.
Yeah, I know Toyota has, they've got some sun sensors that are actually in the roof of the car that they activate a cooling system that the car gets up to a certain temperature and it actually blows out the heat and controls it, keeps the heat of the car at about maybe 85 degrees, 85, 90 degrees. It automatically starts the fans and it circulates the air so your car doesn't get super hot inside anymore. So I'm not sure what model that is, but I know Toyota's been working with that too. So just things like that. I mean, it's just like it's the natural energies of just using an inventive spirit about stuff and utilizing it, our natural energies instead of
sure.
the oil and all that other stuff. So it's very cool.
Yeah, there's been some major articles recently on new homes that are being built and all of the things that they're using natural energy to build these homes and insulate and cool and heat them, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know what? It's not really amazing to me because it's things that we've had for a long time. But,
yep.
You know, thank goodness on some levels it's just our sense of urgency of being more responsible to the planet and to ourselves to be just that much more respectful to what we have as resources and being able
yeah,
to utilize
really,
it in a very more efficient
said.
Way.
What did you just say? A sense of urgency. And it's too bad that it takes the people, takes a crisis to get people to listen.
Yeah. Well, and that's, go ahead, Gloria.
I was going to add that it's interesting because I'm going through, as I told you, I'm going through a bunch of paperwork. At
uh-huh.
one point, I had been looking to develop a business down in Puerto Vallarta and
mm-hmm.
create a water park, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking through all this paperwork that I had compiled where I had gone to trade shows. And there are companies, now this was in 1998, and there are companies that at that point in time were utilizing a mixture of concrete and straw to create breathable buildings.
Oh, my gosh, isn't that cool?
And there are, and to help, because they were saying that the pollution inside the buildings themselves are more so than what's on the outside of the house based on the chemicals and things that these different products were releasing. So they
right.
had created this breathable thing. And so there are so many products out there that we really don't even know about that are available. It's just that a lot of it has been cost prohibitive, and
mm-hmm.
people are looking to get bargains. So you've got these contractors that were not being responsible based upon the demand. People didn't know that it was out there, so they weren't able to demand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know they were. I had watched it. Go ahead.
Well, they've been doing the research, and they've been working on these things. There's designers. I've come across architectural designer flyers that are creating buildings and developments that are based upon the health and well-being of the land, even back then.
Right. Well, that actually, all this stuff's been going on since the 60s, at least the 60s, of just the innovation stuff that we could be doing. And if you want to even go back further than that, it's just in the California, we've had opportunities to be able to do, you know, more public transit and stuff like that. And basically the car companies and oil companies came in and basically said, oh, no, let's put freeways in instead. I mean, that was back in the 30s or something like that. So, you know, it's very interesting to see what we've done when it comes to a level of economics and for the environment, and how it always comes down to the dollar bill sometimes when it comes to big brother and how they're controlling and manipulating the Earth's resources. That's very,
well, when you consider that they bought Tesla's inventions to keep them off the market, I mean, what more does that say? There's car manufacturers,
yeah,
out there that were bought out and put out of business based upon the innovations that they had been able to put in place, and it would have hurt these other automotive industries.
Yeah, exactly. So,
coming to bite us in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. So, and along with that, too, as I remember talking to the secretary, I had heard an interview with the Secretary of the Interior not that long after Obama had come into his presidency, and they were saying one of the best things that we could do for helping the environment would be to get away from having asphalt on everything and having it going back to, you know, just having things being on a white level, because it's all these dark materials that are heating up the earth that really makes that big difference. So, and it's, and that, you know, you look at that and go, well, yeah, of course, that makes perfect sense that that's what it would be. So we have our guest who has just joined us, Mr. Bruce Dixon, and I asked Bruce to come on. He's actually going to be at the Flowers for You this weekend, with a special class called Asking the Medical Intuitive. He's going to be working with helping people to release burdens that they've had for a long, long time. So, hey, Mr. Bruce, how are you? Bruce, are you there? I thought we had Mr. Bruce. Hold on a second.
He's being the silent majority.
Let me just check here. Make sure we have him on here. Well, I didn't hang up on him, so you know. That's the reason why I missed Kathy. Oh, there we go. Hold on a second.
I can hear you.
Hey, Bruce, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you fine.
Oh, hi,
can
Bruce.
You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, hi. We can hear you now. Did you hear my intro?
I did. I just
got
back from a Create Your Health thing in Silver Lake. It was fun. There's one next week in Long Beach. If anybody wants to go, they're free.
Okay, and tell us like what you did tonight a little bit, so we can I introduce you real quick. We have Jamie on the line. We have Miss Marvine and Miss Gloria and Robin. Yeah, we've got us all here. So, yeah.
There's a guy named Peter Bedard, and he does this free thing where called Create Your Health, and it's createyourhealth.com, and participants don't have to pay anything. They come and show up, and there's a sprinkling of practitioners like me and some light refreshments, and people can get short sessions with these practitioners for free and see if they're any good.
Oh, wow, that's very nice.
And that's how people can create their health, by meeting practitioners they might want to see. And
okay,
it's fun,
very good.
It's a practitioner, yeah.
Okay, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I started out as a very young baby a long time ago.
I'm sorry. That was good.
Wow.
That
good
was
Bruce.
A good
okay.
starting place. I liked it.
And
can
so
we move up maybe about about 25 years or 30 years, and where were you after that? Okay. No.
I think earlier than that at the gleam in his eye.
It was a gleam, yeah, it was a gleam in your daddy's eye. There we go. How about that? Okay. It was a gleam in my daddy's eye. Because, I mean, we still have an after dinner mint and some other things to cover here, so, you know, we definitely can give you about 20 minutes. So I don't know how far we can go back in your lifeline with that, but there you go.
Well,
there you go.
My grandmother and mother were psychic and intuitive, but neither of them were able to develop their gifts. So even when I was in high school, I realized that if I was going to develop mine, which I already knew were there, I was going to have to follow a path of personal and spiritual growth. And then there was a very long period that was dowsing and arm pull-down testing and ring finger, ring O-ring testing and more inward muscle testing. And now I'm to the point where I can talk to people's immune system over the telephone. And
oh, wow. Can you, Can you tell, can you back up just a second and tell people what body testing actually does? Just real quick, like a minute,
well,
like if nobody knew anything what body testing is.
Well, I don't, you know, this is a kinesiology testing, and probably a lot of your listeners will have heard of muscle testing, kinesiology testing. It's all the same thing. It's just really asking questions and allowing the body to register a response so you can.
Is it related to Touch for Health at all, Bruce?
Very related, and that's how me
yeah,
and
I'm a certified
people,
Touch for Health instructor.
Great. That's how me and a lot of other people got initiated to this stuff. But it goes
okay.
much more widely than arm pull-down. And there's an article
okay.
online called Deviceless Dowsing.
Uh-huh.
And people Google it. It comes up in several locations. There's at least 20 other ways to do it. And I will occasionally meet people who don't even need to do any muscles at all. They can just put their heart on their hand on their heart and know the answer. And so we don't want them to go back to muscles. We want them to stay with that intuitive knowing.
Yep.
And that's where I'm close to now.
So I have to do this. Forgive me, but I have to do this. So when you do the muscle, testing, does it show how smart my body is? And is there a learning curve involved?
Well, I don't.
Are you grading on a curve?
Yes, I grade on the curve. I don't touch you.
I grade on a curve.
I can do that. I can test them without touching them. Now I don't do it without their permission. But
right.
I can do it without touching them. It's not ethical to do it without their permission. So, you know,
it's a pretty amazing process. I like I said, I'm a Touch for Health instructor. I was certified years and years ago. And what's
mm-hmm.
really interesting is what it does is it, your body is intelligent enough to tell the practitioner what it needs, contrary to what your mind thinks it needs, or contrary to what your belief systems think.
That's also what we want to bring in, and I think even Touch for Health would benefit by more of this, is the ideas of listening to your body, listening to yourself,
yeah.
and also the safety factors, some of which have to do with a spiritual perspective.
Yep.
And that's what's really helped the people that I've been training to pick this up and trust their testing, because that's
yep.
the big issue. But we're not going to do testing at Robin's place on Sunday. We're going to try to help as many people we can with their health issues. And so I hope people will bring their health concerns and try and stump me, because I love a challenge.
Okay, cool. Can you talk a little bit about, I was telling Gloria a little bit about you earlier today, and we had a question of, like, is there a difference between a belief and a habit when it comes to being able to release it?
It's a
well,
great
basically,
question.
it comes down also to the idea of a psychosomatic versus a physiological learned behavior.
Yeah. Well,
right.
We have a lot. We have some language for this. The 20th century gave us some language for this, but not very good language. So we've got some better language now. And the way I like to explain it to people is, we have physical habits, the way you tie your shoe, the way you chew your food. We have habits about how we wish for things and in our imagination. We have habits
mm-hmm.
about how we feel about things, how we think about things, and we have a large number of unconscious habits. And all of these together are really our habit body.
Yep.
And our habit body is almost entirely converged with our immune system. So once you can start testing, you can ask the habit body, is it doing this or that habit, or ask it about this or that thing in the body. And so beliefs are just mental habits, and most of our disturbances, it's quite true, are mental and emotional in nature. The rest are mostly unconscious.
Yeah.
So those things are easy to get at with Touch for Health or any kind of testing, and really we need a lot more people testing. Testing of any kind is the doorway and all the more interesting and elegant tools that heal.
So the work that you're doing with people is more based upon their immediate reality versus things like Theta, where you might work on the past life and or soul level.
Well, I honor that Theta has helped a lot of people. I find that, you know, I get, I just, the problem I had was I came out with very strong fingers, because they were pulling my fingers apart a lot. And so my focus is not working on beliefs necessarily per se, though it does come up, but in giving people an experience of energy moving, because that's what they really want. That's a validation that they can experience and has nothing to do with me. So in every session I do with people, I really do everything I can so that they can feel energy move inside of them. So then they start paying attention to what's going on inside of them, and I give them little exercises, little tools that heal that they can take home and practice as homework if they want to get better or, you know, take off another few layers of their issue.
We have a caller.
Okay.
We have a caller. I just wanted to introduce them to see if they want to be participating in the conversation. If not, that's okay. I have 206 and with the prefix of 2234. Hi, caller.
That's
hi, caller,
probably me. My phone went out.
Oh, is that you? Okay. Hi, caller.
Yeah.
Hi, Jamie. I didn't recognize your number.
Okay.
Well, hi.
I have a
hi,
phone
hi.
And
your
it's off.
Your name is Jamie? Oh, hi, Jamie. Thanks for calling in.
My ear was sticking to my phone.
One of the things I'd like to add to what Bruce was talking about, though, is disease, which is a lack of ease. And I've worked with doctors and scientists and engineers and people in other healthcare, and a lot of our diseases actually begin in the mind.
Yeah.
And it's because of so much stuff that is packed inside, and what happens from an energy perspective is it stores itself in different areas of the body, and a lot of people have been so conditioned not to deal with different types of emotions or fears or any number of other things. And what I'm hearing from Bruce is that he has the ability to help them break through and grasp where the core of the problem is.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes beyond what the surface is and gets to the core. Is that correct, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, the game is to try to identify all of the primary causative factors. And when somebody's coming to me, they usually don't know what even one of them is, and there may be two or three. And then, of course, we have the meridians in the body tell us where issues are stored because you know, I wrote this book, Meridian Metaphors, Psychology of the Meridians and Major Organs, because the meridians are really kind of a thumbnail sketch of our entire psyche. And if you start looking at it in terms of overcharge and undercharge, that plus all the meridians, you pretty much have a map of where things are going to be and where negative emotions are going to be held.
So, Bruce, how many books do you have?
Well, I'm finishing my 10th now. I've got the 9th one in proof, and I guess I've got 8. So.
You could do a book on writing books. Do a class on writing books.
Well,
no, really, I think because it seems like when people have a passion and they want to be writing, it's a matter of kind of learning how to do that. You know what I mean? Because like, certain people are very good at being able to write books, and once you hear these people are writing books, it seems like they just write and write and write. It's amazing. It's amazing the process with that. So I think that's part of it. Did you have a belief? Yeah. Did you have a belief you couldn't write books and you fixed that and now you're writing books, huh?
It seems like everybody has at least one book in them.
Yeah, I agree.
So the work that you're doing, have you been integrating it with any of the physical therapies or any of the different occupational therapies that are involved in the hospitals and the
doctors? Well, I would love to do that. And I've made overtures to several doctors, and I've been involved in several efforts to start a holistic clinic. Nothing is really, you know, stuck to the wall yet, but I really believe that the future is a team approach to medicine, and I think medical intuitives are going to be towards the top of the pyramid because they're very good at deciding what the appropriate measures are to take, the appropriate modalities. And in fact, you can rate them. I mean, I often get people with physical problems, and I'll say, well, gee, what could help that? Acupuncture on a scale of 10? Well, that'd be a 5. Let's see, how about Reiki? That'd be a 6. How about Touch for Health? That'd be an 8. Oh, okay, how about Theta? That'd be a 9. Oh, well, that'd be healing for you. So why don't you go do that? So I'll try to...
There is a couple of places up in the LA area. They have a Reiki center that's in conjunction with one of the hospitals up there. And then there's in San Diego area, there is a lady who does touch trauma therapy, and she's involved in working with the Cancer Society. You might want to look at some of the associations as well.
Huh. Reiki and hospital and touch trauma. Okay.
Yeah, the Reiki and hospitals has been around now. They've got a center up there that they're like in the parking lot. You know, they created a building that is not in the hospital, but it's
bungalow.
Part of where the doctors will write a prescription to go to, and it's monitored by the hospital. It's up, I've forgotten the name of it. It's a gentleman's name that they have, the hospital up there. And that was put in place in the, let's see, this is 2010, so it was like 1996.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. Well, that's something I'll follow up on.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. And I don't know why, but I'm thinking that also with that, too, is probably a lot of places that are really working with the hospice energies would totally be something that could be conducive to that as well.
Maybe.
You know, with people, they're open to that. It depends on the practitioner, but I know that I know quite a few in the Riverside area that are very open to things like that, just in assisting people and being able to, move to the next level.
Well, in England, there's a Dr. Healer Network. That formed after World War II because there was like an outbreak of spiritual healing in England after World War II. Didn't happen.
What the heck's going on?
and there's no such Dr. Healer Network here in the United States. And I've tried to get one going, but I would love to hear from any. I guess I should look up hospice and energetic healing and see if anybody's doing.
Yeah. Who was talking before here?
The thing we haven't talked about that I'd like to mention is there is so much healing available for people. This is the Earth is going is like at 50 out of 100 and is going to 75 out of 100 in just a matter of years, and everybody on the Earth has to kind of drop another 25 points of stuff they've been holding on to, and that's going to result in a lot of healing for a lot of people. And, if it happens too fast, it's scary. But if it can happen at a rate that people are comfortable with, they can really get a wonderful ride. And that's really the headline these days.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way to put it, too. That's really nice, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and again, just a reminder, our listeners, he's going to be at my flower shop, Flowers for You, in Riverside, California. And if you guys have any questions with that, you can call the shop regular hours, which is the 951-689-2711. And if you have any questions about that, go ahead and just give us a call. If you'd like to be reserving your spot, we are taking reservations now to be able to do that. And Bruce is always also making himself available for 30-minute sessions after his little workshop. If you'd like to go ahead and make an appointment for that, we are taking appointments for that as well. And we're hoping to have Bruce come on hopefully a monthly basis or bi-monthly, depending on his schedule and what we can put together, and have a few more of these if we're successful in getting some people out that are interested in it. And like we're saying, it's now's the time to be doing gentle energies that can really assist you in being able to release a lot of things that just no longer serve you. And we definitely are happy to have Bruce be online and giving his perspective, and glad to see a lot of our other callers are in the same mindset and place. So, you guys have any questions for Bruce?
How long have you been doing this, Bruce?
I've been seeing people informally for about 30 years and professionally for 10 years, since 2001. Ah. And in 2001, I felt like I was really ready to share some of these uncoveries that I had, and there wasn't really any training program for what I did, so I said I made a prayer, and the next day I woke up with the idea to just go out and have 100 successful sessions, and if I had a failed session, I would start over at one. However, I still haven't had that failed session.
That's awesome.
Wow, there we go.
In terms of schooling, there isn't a lot of schooling around for this. There's the Carolyn Mace program if you're highly clairvoyant. But I don't know. That's not quite what I'm interested in doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a terrific program here in Los Angeles, the Masters in Spiritual Science, which does teach people how to do kinesiology testing with spirit as your partner, with God as your partner. And that's a lovely way to get into it.
Now, see, my question there, and this is just for me, where I come from personally, because to me, for me, it's just a given that that spirit is my partner.
Wonderful.
With everything that I do.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a wonderful place of devotion. Really.
What a great partner.
I do have a question regarding your discovery process, because if somebody comes in and they say, well, I'd like you to work on me, or I'd like you to work with whatever the energies are that are inside and the blockages, and they don't know what that might be, but they feel on an intuitive level that there's something there, do you have a specific questioning process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me tell you a little bit how that might look. So somebody comes in, and I encourage them to come with a shopping list of things they'd like to work on, and we'll call on the light and get their own guidance present, and then we'll ask their own guidance which item on their shopping list is the priority. And that will generally be the thing they have the highest willingness to heal on, because we want them to be able to feel some energy move, and we're going to go to the area that they're most willing to heal. So then we have to figure out how their guidance sees the issue, because our yak-yak mind is notoriously, you know, dumb about what the primary causative factors are. And, you know, unless they've done a lot of therapy and counseling, usually the client doesn't have much language either. So they may be able to give you a lot of details about the physical symptoms. But from the spirit's point of view, those are kind of the tail of the dog. And the dog is the primary causative issues, which tend to be mental and emotional and unconscious. So I have several methodologies that I go through. You might call them testing protocols to figure out how their guidance sees the issue. So we get to the issue. We find out where it's located. And most often it is in their body, though it doesn't have to be. And we kind of come face-to-face with the issue. And we get to a certain point where there isn't any more information that we need. And at that point, we can move to solutions. And then it's often a matter of asking the person to forgive themselves for the negativity that's lodged there in their body. And that might look like we had some people tonight, I forgive myself for allowing myself to feel so angry first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. And it doesn't sound like much on the phone, but actually if you start counting off the incidences when you allowed yourself to feel angry, the inner child goes, oh, I can release that, and it will. And things start moving, and then they can feel the energy. And then you can change the question and make it more precise and, you know, start playing around with it. So it's fun stuff. If it's not forgiveness, they often have a judgment that needs to be released. Or sometimes, and this is the most fun, they need to apologize to themselves for allowing negative things to happen in the past so that they can be released.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so we got to make sure that we don't, you know, I had somebody tonight who in a past life apparently was burned alive.
Oh, my.
And how did I treat that? Well, I treated that very gingerly, and the metaphor I use when I run into those situations is I say, you know, we don't want to go back into that and re-injure you by giving you a lot of detail that could be unpleasant. We just want to, like, touch it with our little finger enough so that you can get the solutions. So one of the solutions I gave her was to read Mark Twain's biography of Joan of Arc, which is a terrific book. I think Twain's best book. And, of course, Joan of Arc, you know, deals with this whole issue of dying by fire. And we also talked about where it was in her body and how she could start moving some loving down to that part of her body that was still on fire. And, you know, you have to, you know, I'm trying to obey the law of gentleness for healers. and keep it simple for them and keep it easy and keep it at a level they can manage. And so it's not scary.
So how did the client respond to that?
She was open to it. She was an actress, and that didn't surprise her as much as I thought it might. She had it. Her idea was that she had an issue with electronics. People would
Well, that's similar with that energy power. Yeah, that's similar.
Yeah, she thought it was more. She thought it was externally caused, and it came up pretty quickly that it was not even from this lifetime, and that it was from a prior existence issue with the world. Yeah, I mean, she felt rejected and abandoned by the world when she had to jump into the fire.
Well, it's kind of interesting too
that
she chose to be an actress. You know, being an actress and having jumping into the fire of a role or something like that. It's kind of an interesting thing that she would choose that for an occupation this time too.
Yeah. Well, I love that kind of metaphorical thinking, and that's often so useful.
Yeah.
So useful.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a tendency to put ourselves in the fire, even though we don't know it.
Well, maybe some people more than others.
yeah, that's true. Well, I bet every time you're in a session, it's just pretty fascinating stuff, depending where somebody is with their work and where they're willing to go.
Everybody heals uniquely. You know, we're only similar in two places. We're similar in the shape and forms of our physical body, and we're similar at the level of the soul. Everything else in between, we are primarily unique. We are so unique, you cannot believe it. I mean, I've worked with so many people, and each new person is like so different from anything I've ever seen before. It's really endlessly entertaining. and honored. You know, I cherish that each person is unique, and I try to celebrate that with them. You are unique. Don't listen to those people who tell you that you're, like everybody else. You're not. Scratch the surface, and you'll see it.
I'm just kind of thinking of the metaphor of a snowflake. I mean, they're all basically made out of the same thing, but there's no two that are alike when their pattern and what they are.
Actually, the snowflake is too mild a metaphor because we're radically different. We're radically different.
Okay, diamond.
Very radically different. I mean, that's the only good word for it.
Diamond's created by fire and pressure. There you go.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps us similar is the loving. That's why loving
there
is so useful, because that's what brings us together, coheres us, brings us into a center that's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is very unique in us, and our healing process is unique. Sheesh. the other thing I'll mention in the lull here is that I've got some videos on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and put healingcoach.org, no dot, healingcoach.org, you'll see some videos, the meaning of illness. And there's some of that metaphorical thinking. The meaning of illness is now an open book. Illness is a healing metaphor. And I'm hoping to get those out to people who are, willing to see their illness not as an enemy, but as something they can have a relationship with.
Okay, very good. And hold on a second. Can you go ahead and go through your emails? I mean, your different websites that you have available to Bruce?
Well, there's tools. thatheal.com. I like to call it fools that heal, but in this case it's tools that heal. I'm the fool. It's toolsthatheal.com. And the other one is healingcoachorg.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the books has its own site, selfhealing101.net. And someday I'll get around to a couple more.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean, we can, sometimes it's better to, less is more, that goes when it comes to being, for people to be able to find us sometimes, it just keeps a minimal amount of different connections. So, like the one-stop shop to go ahead and get any kind of information for Bruce. So, again, just to really encourage our listeners to, with such a great opportunity to be meeting Bruce in person. Again, we will have, some one-on-ones available if people want to go ahead and have an experience with that, and really just helping yourself on a level that you might not even recognize. You think it's an external thing when there may be something simply internally that you could just gently touch that and be able to move through that quickly and just no longer have it something that's hindering your life.
So really just want to encourage people to be able to contact us. Again, that's Flowers for You in Riverside, California. That's 951-689-2711. And you can contact Robin for a booking on that. And that'll be on Sunday. And that's going to be on July 18th. And we're planning on his presentation will be starting at 4 o'clock, going till about 5:30. And then we'll be having some half hours available after the main classes is over. Mm. So thank you so much, Bruce. Gosh, I look forward to it. I think it's just going to be fun and yeah. have, you know, the pool tools for everybody. Did anybody, you guys have any more questions for Bruce? Jamie, do you have a question for Bruce?
Not really, but thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm too bad he can't come because Bruce or Jamie's up in Seattle, or he would probably be there. So we would bring him on over and have him.
Yeah.
So, hey, well, maybe we can, we'll have a field trip. We can go to Seattle. How about that? We'll create a field trip. That'll be pretty darn fun. We're always looking for a place to, you know, field trip time. That's always fun. So that's really good. Gloria, do you have any more questions for Bruce?
Well,
Not at this time.
Just want to express gratitude for being on the show and just to ask that a blessing go to everybody on the call and everyone who's listening so that they can identify the next step forward in their life and get the support and the tools to take it.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I ditto that. How about that? I double ditto that. There we go.
Double ditto.
Double ditto. Triple ditto. Whatever. This is like universal ditto. Yeah, there we go. It's time for our inspirational mint. We didn't even do dessert tonight because we just got caught up in conversation, but that's pretty cool. Sometimes, the conversation is the dessert. So this quote says, "A rock pile ceases to be a rock pile the moment a single man contemplates it, bearing within him the image of a cathedral." So there you go. May we all know our cathedrals within us. And it reminds me of Michelangelo, when he said he could look at a block of marble and see the statue within. That's how we saw David. David was already within the marble, and it just basically had to chip away everything that was in David.
Yeah.
So there you go. Maybe we chip away all those things that are covering our image of our full self and our authentic self and being able to move forward in the world in all of our beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very, very good. Very, very good. So, gosh, we just got all kinds of wonderful things that we've touched on tonight. So anything else that you want to add, Bruce?
Well, I feel like the stars are out. The sky is ours. And I hope everyone on the call and everyone listening has a dream, a goal, and a passion that is drawing them forward to the next little baby steps to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And these are those baby steps that really do make the difference. We think it's just the leaps over the Grand Canyon, and, it still takes those steps to get across the Grand Canyon. That's for darn sure. That or being able to find a good donkey that'll help you along the way. There you go. Whether we're the donkey or somebody else, sometimes, having a companion along the way to help you with your load, that's okay. Sometimes that's what those soulmates are all about, huh? So that's all good. So, okay, we're down to our last minute. I want to thank you all, guys, all coming. If we needed to get any doggy bags, we'll make sure to get it taken care of all of our leftovers. And you guys travel safely. And meet us again at the Transformation Cafe. So thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks, Bruce.
Good night.
See you guys later.
Have a great night. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.